Okay, we're going to talk about Helper by Design today. It's an interesting thing to do, to go class to class to class and change up, you know. Try to remember what it is you're supposed to talk about. I was in a training class a few years ago that one of my publishers had put on to help us do better in radio and television interviews. So they had a group of the top Christian radio and television interview or radio and television program producers there, and they asked them, what is the one thing you want our authors to do when they come to you? And they said, read their book. Read the book, please. See, because by the time I get around to doing an interview on a book, I am on, you know, two books later, right? I got no clue what I wrote. I wrote that? Oh, that sounds good. Or I wrote that? Okay. So Helper by Design came out in some year, I can't tell you when, and I'm going to do my best to try to remember what it was I was talking about. It's on Velcro somewhere. If I can just get it loosened so I can access it. See, and you thought, you know, we so had our act together. And now... Nope. No act. Never together. Okay. I began the study for Helper by Design primarily out of my thought in Idols of the Heart. Because in Idols of the Heart, I began to ask the question, what does it mean to be created in the image of God? And then I thought, would there be any difference in design for a woman than there is for a man? Now, quite obviously, there are physiological differences, but when we're talking about the fact that men and women are equally created in the image of God, I began to ask, what would those differences be? Now, I understand that for most people, when they go and try to find a book that will help them with their marriage, generally speaking, the author doesn't start talking about the image of God. Right? It's like, oh, image of God? Like, who cares? Tell me what I need to do. Which is one of our problems, isn't it? And so I wanted to ask those questions, and I thought that by asking those questions, I would be able to spend a year or so skipping down a little theological bypath that would be interesting but wouldn't really affect me in any way. Fool. You know, God sits in his heaven and laughs. Of all of the books that I have written, it astonishes me that I even say that sentence, but of all of the books that I have written, this book has affected me the most profoundly. Because it took me into places in my own heart that I had not addressed or were even aware of, the way that I thought about what it meant to help the husband God had given me. And I had known for years and years that God had called me to be his helper. Now, let me just say that the word is not help meet, okay? That's KJV, which is fine. But, you know, and it's certainly not help mate, right? The word actually in the Hebrew means a helper that corresponds to, all right? A helper fitted to, a helper that is designed perfectly to help. So, you know, we have taken the word help meet and we use the word helpmate, and, you know, frequently people don't even have any idea what that word means. So then I wanted to say, okay, if I've been created in the image of God as a woman, I am a her created in the image of a him. That's an interesting thought, isn't it? In what ways do I image God, and how can I help my husband? What is it that he needs help on? I'm pretty convinced that when God created Eve from Adam's side, he didn't create her because Adam needed help picking up his socks. Okay. So when Adam needed Eve's help, what did he need? Did he need somebody to help him move logs around the garden? If he did need somebody that would do that, then God would have created someone who was physiologically stronger, or at least as strong as Adam. But he created us, he created Eve, as a woman who had certain strengths that would help her husband fulfill God's call in his life. And so when I began to think about what it meant to be my husband's helper, it was something much deeper and broader. Although it was not less than making dinner or picking up socks, it's not less than that, but it is not simply that. The other thing I wanted to avoid in writing a book about marriage was saying something along the lines of, do these 12 things and you'll have a perfect marriage like mine. Because when I read books like that, I want to throw them across the room. All right? Because the reality is I'm a sinner. You guys already knew that. The reality is I am a sinner and so is he. And what that means is I'm never going to have a perfect marriage until I get to heaven and I've got that marriage. That other perfect marriage, right? The marriage I'm looking forward to. And so I wanted to say, okay, what's God's point in marriage? And I know that that's kind of, most women are not there when they come into your counseling room. You women are, because I would assume you're very, very serious about your theology and God and everything. But generally speaking, when women come into a counseling room, what they want is 12 easy steps to the perfect marriage. And what I wanted to do instead was build a foundation and say, okay, this is how I want you to look at it. And these are deeply theological issues, but this is how I want you to look at it. And then if you look at it that way, all of this opens up to you and it becomes much clearer and actually much broader, much more of a broader call than just making sure that the laundry is done or being an organized person in your kitchen. Can you imagine? I need to be one of those persons that makes lists. I don't do that. I can hardly find the paper. Hold on just a minute. I got a crayon. Genesis 1:26 and 27 is our key passage. Then God said, "Let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and the birds of the heavens and over the livestock and over all the earth and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth." You know what? I go to the beach. I live in San Diego. I go to the beach all summer long. I work all year long so that in the summer I can go to the beach, because that's what I'm going to do. And my little grandchildren go to the beach and they make sandcastles. Right? You know what they're doing? Having dominion. They're walking in the image of God. They are creating. They're having dominion over the creation. And they go through and they sort out certain seaweeds. They are imaging God. They're reflecting that image of God in them. Verse 27, "So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him." This is very important now. "Male and female, he created them." Male and female, he created them. Both men and women are equally created in the image of God. Men are not more in the image of God than women. We would find a propensity to believe that men are more important or more created in the image of God than women in some facets of American evangelicalism. Okay? On the other hand, women are not more in the image of God than men. And you would find that all over our culture. Basically, if we could just get the men to act more like women, then everything would be good. right?